his comb in his back pocket. He couldn't part with it. Now, if you try not to laugh, you could hurt yourself. So just, yeah. I just want to say, for years, this was always the church I drove by to go somewhere. Little did I know that this is where I was going, to this church. I am thankful. I just thank God with all my heart that Don Scandrill called me one day and said, hey, there's a little church across the river from you. He said, they're just such sweet people. He said, honestly, I think I'm sending you there to help them die and to help them die with grace because they deserve it. Well, here you are, live and kicking. And I just couldn't have asked God for a better congregation because, folks, the church is you. As Don said when he was here one time, you don't exist because of your building. You exist despite it. And that's being remedied. But I want to remind you that we stand on the shoulder of humble giants, all the people that have come here and served the Lord and served each other for all those years that have served this church, that allow us to be what we are today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We lift this time and this message up to you. We put it into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. Amen. For several weeks now, we've been looking at the Beatitudes as found in Matthew 5. So far, we've looked at the kingdom of heaven in general to get an understanding of what he's talking about, each of the Beatitudes individually. And we've looked at the effect the Beatitudes have on this world when we live them. They produce light to a dark world. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, you are the light of the world. God decided to use you. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, last week, when we read this, we looked at the effect our light has on this dark world. This morning, as we leave here, I want to take a look at what effect the world has on the light that the kingdom of heaven produces in us in here. Specifically, I want to take a look at how stress affects our walk, our fellowship, and our witness. Stress is defined as a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. Now, if we apply stress to our emotional state, we come up with the word anxiety. Stress is the force, anxiety is the response, or stress is the cause, anxiety is the effect. And anxiety is defined as an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension, something beyond the normal. And fear, often marked by physiological signs, doubts concerning the reality and nature of the threat, and self-doubt about one's capacity to cope with it. Am I facing something I cannot handle? Self-doubt about one's capacity. This is the place where all of our faith begins to crack, and we all have that place. This is a place where what we claim to be is confronted by what we are. This is where you see what I am not, and I see the same in you. Stress and anxiety strip off the facade and show the cracks in the foundation. The things that we deal with by pushing them aside, painting over them, so that others can't see our flaws as we try to sell who we are to ourselves, to others, and to God. But you know, God sees our hearts, and he does not put new wine into an old wineskin. He doesn't make us presentable. He fixes us. He makes us perfect, as he is perfect, and he uses this fellowship to do that. God allows or even causes us to encounter situations that are stressful because these things strip away the paint and reveal what is hidden, not to humiliate us, but to heal us. God has always taken full responsibility for his children. He not only saves us, he fixes us so that he can glorify us. And God will use hard things to fix hard problems. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved," that's you, "do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, which come upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." This is God telling us, this is how I do it. Get used to it. Adjust. God knows what he wants from us, and he knows how to get it. Be aware. God definitely uses difficulties and hardships to move us forward. You don't have to find them. You don't have to seek out challenges to your faith. They'll find you. Stress and anxiety are part of the process of learning in the kingdom of heaven and growing. Stress and anxiety surely are relative to a point. What is stressful for me may not be stressful for you. However, there are some common stressors that seem to have wide application to mankind. There's even a ranking of stressors that appears to be almost universally accepted. It has a name, I don't remember what it was, but here they are. Ponder this. They're ranked in order of stress and anxiety. 10 of them. The first is the death of a spouse or a child. I have no words to tell anybody who has lost a child. I don't know a frame of reference that I can apply to myself. The next is divorce. The next is marital separation. The fourth is imprisonment. But I guess if you're going to jail, that moves up. But the next is death of a close family member. The next is personal injury or illness. The next is marriage, getting married, not getting divorced. The next is losing your job. The other is marital reconciliation. And the tenth is retirement. Four of them deal with family. Three of them deal with health. Two deal with work. And one deals with going to jail. These are on top of the everyday stresses, such as bills, holidays, a new pizza delivery guy who's not sure what door to go to, watching the Pirates attempt to play a baseball game, elections, the news, just what comes every day. This is the world we made. God made it perfect. We did this. If we step back and look at the list as a whole, we can see that each of these 10 events has something in common: change. Because change by its very nature confronts us with uncertainty, and uncertainty by its nature is stressful, and stress by its nature produces anxiety, and anxiety by its nature affects how we act. These changes can affect the light that we beam out into that world from in here. Now, a note of interest, a sort of a sidebar as I was looking over this. I noticed how many of these things strongly apply to growing older, which is now beginning to apply to me. I realize how much change aging brings to each of us. You see, there's an aggregate stress to not dying young. I'm to the point where this is becoming my reality and explains a lot about myself and about others. When you add up all the things on this list that apply to being older and factor in the feelings of the loss of importance, the loss of contribution, whether real or imagined, it seems to me that aging can become quite an anxious process, anxious enough to affect the light we show the world. And I began to realize that being dismissive of the elderly may be worse than being dismissive of the young. When we talk past them, when we don't consider who they are, or importantly, what they were, we dim their lights a little bit. And to be honest, our lights should shine the brightest just before they go out. Aging is humbling. Maybe this makes it part of God's plan of sanctification, a final wash and wax before the big day. But it doesn't mean we should allow or cause it to be humiliating. We have a responsibility to help each other shine, and I believe we can and should do a better job of making this happen. If we don't shine together, we don't shine at all. And everyone who has yet to grow old should read Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8, maybe once every 3 months, because it was written for you, not for those of who've already grown old, because we know. But take a look at it. Now that we have an idea of what stress and anxiety are and what causes them, let's take a look at what anxiety, and by inference, what it brings our way, how it affects how brightly the light of Christ shines from each one of us. From the webpage of the Federal Occupational Health Commission, common signs of stress reactions. Reactions, things that happen in response to stress and anxiety, not thought out choices, but reactions, just the things you do whenever you're stressed. You have to make a choice not to do these things or be these things. To do that, you have to know what they are and you have to recognize them. What anxiety does to us, how it affects the light. And it has a list, and here's some of them. A tendency to blame one person for everything. Withdrawal from others, probably because you blame them for everything. Emotional outburst, suspiciousness, depression, apprehension, intense anger, irritability, agitation, mistrust, apathy. Intense anger, irritability, and agitation. That sounds like somebody I know. But what stress would she have? No, honey. Stress also affects your physical well-being, which adds another change, which compounds the issue. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Changes make us vulnerable to these reactions, every one of us. These things affect our witness to this world about the love and the peace of Christ. In effect, when we act like this, it dims our light. God is well aware of this. He's not surprised. God understands stress and even uses stress and anxiety to clean our lenses so that we can shine even brighter. And it really does matter where the stress comes from, God or our own actions, or from the world in general. If you rob a bank, you should be stressing about going to jail. God didn't bring that anxiety to you. You did that. But either way, Scripture gives us some clear guidance regarding how to handle anxiety, how to handle changes, so that the changes don't change our light. How the sheep handle stress, change, and anxiety. Psalms 121, it's really simple. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried to the Lord. No, there's a thousand things he didn't do here. He cried to the Lord. Turn to God. Choose to trust him when you are stressed. William James wrote, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. Free will. You will never be free until you free yourself from the prison of your own false thoughts. You will be ruled by stress and anxiety, and you will be all those things that it does. Face what you have, acknowledge that you are facing trouble, and understand where the trouble comes from. Then turn it over to God. When you don't know what to do, consider what he knows and what he can do. God is the constant in a universe of change. Malachi 3:6 says, God outright proclaims and lets us know, I change not. He says this for our benefit, so that we can have a rock to stand on when the waves of change rage all around us. Brothers and sisters, we cannot stop time to hold on to a moment, nor can we hurry time to get past a moment. Time continually moves forward at its own pace, methodically heading toward the end of its relationship with us. Every tick of the clock is change. It brings you one tick closer to your last tick than you were the moment just before. We go to great lengths to pretend this isn't so, but we all know. Fortunately for us, the one who is eternal, the one who is omnipotent, meaning he owns both time and all events, loves you desperately. Our feelings of anxiety when facing change are a direct reflection of our ignorance of God's love for us and his care for each one of us. We don't need to know more about where we're going or what's going to happen. We need to know more about our God, who controls time and events. Faith destroys anxiety. Knowledge builds faith. Knowing for sure that he has a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, that his plan is foolproof, that changes in your life are controlled by him to prepare you for glory. Of course, do what you can to maintain your peace and comfort, and then let it go and accept God's orchestration and manipulation of your life. Relax and watch him change you through change. Know that God said that we should not fear men because he will never leave us nor forsake us. Know that he does not change even while everything around us does. Know that God has commanded us to be strong and be courageous. He has commanded us not to be afraid or be discouraged. He commanded us because he knows what anxiety can make us fearful and discouraged, and these things make us weak and destroy our fellowship, which destroys our witness. What he said we were, we cease to become by our own choice. Know that we cannot view God as we view others. He has no frame of reference other than himself. Only God could say, I am that I am. He is self-defining. In Numbers 23, God proclaims what we need to know to calm our anxiety. 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You can stand on his word. This is God saying to you, trust me. Don't worry, I got this because I got you. Philippians 4, we're told not to be anxious about anything. Instead, bring everything, every situation to God in prayer. What is happening in your life? Whatever changes confront you, lay them before the throne of God and then move forward. Whatever you are encountering on that list of stressors, God is bigger than what you're facing. Knowing that he loves you turns what he can do for you into what he will do for you. If you know that God loves you, you know that he will do what is best for you, and peace will dominate your life, not anxiety. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. In other words, it don't make sense that you should be at peace. What is wrong with you? Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And scripture tells us that peace is our witness. It says when people see it in you and come to ask you where your peace comes from, be ready to tell them. If you don't know scripture, then you don't know these things. And change will consume you with anxiety. Then your light will be dimmed by the stresses of life. And you will be subject to emotional outbursts, suspiciousness, depression, apprehension, intense anger, irritability, agitation, mistrust, and apathy. We all know what God can do, what we doubt, what destroys our peace, is that we don't believe he will do what is best for us. This is because we don't know how much he loves us. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love. No anxiety. Because love casts out all fear. No matter what is changing around you, God's love will never falter. He will do what is best for you, even if this may conflict with what you want him to do for you. God loved you so much that Jesus Christ died to save you. And there is no greater proof of love than dying for another. If there were, Jesus Christ would have done that for you. John 3:16, most of us know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A little further on in the Bible, towards the end, John wrote a few other books. And in 1 John 3:16, same chapter, same verse, different book, he says this: we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. So we're sure he loves us. He did that. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That last part we read kind of fast. We need to help our own to shine through the stress and the anxiety of this world, laying down our lives for each other, considering everyone here to be so valuable, so important, that you are willing to swallow your pride for them, your own claim to divinity. You are willing to give up what you want for what they want or what they need, because what you really want is what's best for them. And laying down your life is much deeper and a longer commitment than dying for another. It's giving whatever you have for whatever they need. God gave us each other to help us with stress and anxiety. This becomes a task when the same stress challenges all of us at the same time. When change sort of changes us all. When we are all emotional, suspicious, depressed, apprehensive, angry, irritable, mistrusting, apathetic, agitated. This is where faith comes in. Will you do what God has told you to do instead of turning away from each other as the problem, turning towards each other as the solution? He doesn't give us an option. Proverbs 12:25. Turning to each other. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. I think we all know that. It says, but a good word makes it glad. Where's that good word come from? When life dims our witness, when events challenge our faith, when change changes us, we have each other to lean on. This is God's plan. The good words you need to hear to make your heart glad are sitting right next to you. So when you ask God for help with your stress and anxiety, when you see yourself acting as you should not, don't be surprised if your help shows up looking exactly like someone in this room. And what you think is the problem is so often the solution. I am proud of you. I am proud to say I pastor this church. How has handled the stress and anxiety of the changes of the magnitude we are facing regarding our building? We're all facing it together, and we're all reacting to the stress together. Do not underestimate how stressful this is for all of us, some more than others. And don't forget what anxiety does to all of us. I guess what I'm saying is, give each other a break. God demands it. Now, it's not an excuse. It's a reason, and reasons matter. Because reason tempers our judgment. And if our judgment's tempered, our reaction's tempered. Lay down your life for each other. Say the good words others need to hear. Help them shine even brighter. Because in the kingdom of heaven, the first one to surrender wins. You either believe that or you don't. And your reactions will prove it to you. If you don't, you will. Stress will show you if you really believe it. We each have an obligation from God to boldly put everyone in here in their place. It is a divine calling. What is that place? Up on a pedestal, on a lampstand, high on a hill, brightly shining the light from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of men, doing the will of God. I say to you, keep up the good work. Our struggle is not over, but the truth makes us free. Embrace the truth, and the lies of anxiety are silenced. Faith destroys fear. And I leave you the words of Spurgeon. Nothing is ever improved by anger, anxiety. Whatever wrong I suffer, it cannot do me half so much hurt as being angry about it. Amen. Hymn number 558, We Are the Church.